I love it when we kick up the beat a little bit like that. I love the old hymns and things like that, but I love it when we get the guitar going and then we get Tommy out there going like he's crazy. I just love it when people have passion for Jesus, don't you? When you realize that Jesus came into your life and he did something. And when he came in, he changed you. And you don't walk the same way anymore because Jesus Christ changes your whole life. I think about that song, Jesus, the name above all names. And I figure out, why is his name above all names? It's because of his amazing love. His love that is so amazing. This unconditional love that we can't even fathom, because his love for you isn't based on what you've done or didn't do. His love isn't based on how good you are or how good you aren't. His love for you isn't based on if you're a good boy today or not a good boy. He doesn't ever change his love for you. He has an unconditional, amazing love that just pours out each and every day to us. When everything is going great, he loves you amazingly. When everything is going wrong in your life, he loves you amazingly. He doesn't change it. I think the thing that allowed me to come to Jesus Christ was I wasn't a good kid. But Jesus didn't rub my nose in all that I did. Instead, he kept loving me and loving me and loving me and loving me. And I finally said, I've never been loved like this before in my life. And I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. Jesus is so, so awesome. So wonderful. Wasn't that an awesome quick painting really fast? If you want to see some amazing work, go to Connell, and look at all the buildings through the town of Connell. She's drawn portraits and murals on every, just about 10 or 12 buildings in there, it seems like. Beautiful stuff that she has done. Go up to our second and third floor. She's drawn murals and stuff up there as well. And I'm just so taken by the love of Jesus Christ. The unconditional love. We started with this scripture that talked about God, about how he so loved the world. That's us. That's every person. Every single person in this world, he loves. He loves, and he sent his son Jesus to die for. And he said that if we would believe in Jesus, if we would give our life to Jesus, that we wouldn't perish, but we would have everlasting life. Everlasting life. You know, Ponce de Leon was searching for the fountain of youth. How we could stay young. How we could continue to be young. Today we're looking at how can we live longer and longer and longer. We want to have this sense of youth and vitality and to live. And Jesus Christ says this, follow me and you will live. Not just in this life. You will live forever and ever and ever. In a place called heaven. The best place we could possibly ever be in. He goes on to say that he didn't send Jesus to condemn us. He doesn't point at you and say, I know what you did last night and you're a rotten, filthy person. I can't stand you. Why did you do that? Why did you say that? Why did you treat that telemarketer like that on the phone? Because it was dinner, Lord. But instead, he doesn't condemn us. He doesn't condemn you. If you're sitting there right now and realizing you've done a bunch of junk like I did, Jesus isn't looking at you with his finger pointing at you going, I know what you did. 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 He's going, I know what I did for you. Come. I can change you. I can change you. I can change you. I can make you different. I can transform your life. But Jesus doesn't just say that he loves us unconditionally. He proved it. Jesus proved it. And we find out how he proved it right here in this Easter season, in this Passion Week. Because Jesus was falsely accused of wrong. Have you ever had somebody accuse you of doing something you never did? Any? That's only happened to me about once in my entire life. Now, let me say this. I have gotten away with a lot of wrong that nobody accused me of and nobody found out about. I blamed it on my brothers and sisters. I have gotten away with a lot, at least I thought. But Jesus, during that time, He didn't get away with anything. But he didn't do anything. They accused him of wrong that he never did. And then they beat him up. They whipped him. They tortured him. They brutally terrorized him. And then they hung him on a cross. Left him there to die. So he could prove to us how much he loved us. It was part of God's plan. All of that was God's plan. To have him accused of wrong. To have him beaten beyond all recognition. You couldn't even tell who was hanging on that cross. He was so beaten and so beat up. It looked like a thing, not a person hanging up there. And then he died. Part of God's plan. Why? So there's a scripture that says that, hey, you want to prove to someone how much you love them? How much you love them? Die for them. Jesus died for you. So he didn't just tell you how much he loved you. So he could show you. He could show you how much he loves you. But why? Why die? Why did he die? He died because of all of our wrongs. He got accused of wrongs he never did, but I've done a lot of wrongs in my life. I've done stuff I'm ashamed of. And I owe a debt for that. But Jesus Christ, when he went to that cross, he paid the debt. He paid the penalty so I could go free. He died for me. He died for you so he could tell you how much he loves you, not just in words, not in just this unconditional act, but in what he did for you. Paying the very penalty that you owe for all the wrongs and guilt and shame that I feel for what I did. God wiped it away by dying on the cross. But you know what? He didn't stay dead. He didn't stay dead. You see, 3 days later, he was in this tomb. They put him in this tomb. They thought it was over. Everything is done. It's all over. They rolled the stone across it. But 3 days later, an angel rolls that stone away from the tomb. And Jesus Christ comes out of this tomb. And he rises from the dead. Proving that death has no power over him. Proving that he can triumph over death. Therefore, the death in your life from sin, but also the death in your life at the end of your life when you're going to die, it's not the end, because Jesus says, I'm going to raise you up just like me. I'm going to raise you up from the dead. And you're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever. What Ponce de Leon searched for and can never find, Jesus Christ provides for us. Heaven. What did he do when he died? He opened up heaven's door for us. Now and forever. So we can live forever and ever with him. But there's just one caveat to all of this. One last little point. He provided all of this, everything. It's all free. It's all for you. But there's one last thought, and I love my kids. I love kids. I love children of every age. I wish I was still a kid. I act like it a lot of times. Come on a Sunday and watch me. I'm a kid. I love my kids. I have three of them. They all got married so doggone fast. I want them to stay home so they can play and do stuff more. Have fun. They all got married. But the good thing about them getting married was this. They had grandkids. Oh, praise the Lord. I'll tell you, if I'm going to let you out of this house, then I want grandkids back. That's the duty. I have five grandkids. Five, the number of grace. Three kids. All got married before they were 19. Can you believe that? There's something in our water. What's that? Before they were 20. Yes, they were in 19. You were 18. Christian was 19. And Creighton's 19. I think there's something in our water that says you must get married before 19. Before 20, thank you very much. I'm just a kid, I told you that. But I have one little granddaughter here. Can you come up here? Kaylee, can you come up here? Oh, Carly, yeah, you can see I'm a grandpa. I don't know squat. Jeez. I am sorry. What's your name?
Carly.
Carly what?
Carly Jo Fitzgerald.
Are you Snickle Fitzgerald?
No.
What are you?
Carly Jo Fitzgerald.
Carly Jo Fitzgerald. Awesome. Do you love grandpa?
Yeah.
How much? Oh. How much is that? How much is that?
A ton.
A ton. Is that a lot?
Yeah.
Is it very, very much?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, kids say the funniest things. Don't you just love the eyes of life through a child? You know, Jesus said in Matthew 18, he said that we must be converted, come to Christ, and become like little children, or we couldn't enter heaven. It's always perplexed me. Why is that? He wants us to be like a little child. I mean, you look at a little child, they look so innocent, don't they? They break things and then look at you like that. But there's something so great about a child and looking at life through a child's eyes. Up here, we don't really take up offerings, but we have places where you can give offerings at these boxes on the side and in the back there. And was it Carly or Kaylee that said that? Oh, it was, come over here, sweetheart. This is another one. This is Kaylee. Come over here, honey. Say hello. Can you say hi to everybody? Lily Sherman was putting in an offering. She was putting it into the one of the boxes there, just kind of on her own. And she put it in there. She asked her and said, what are you doing? And she goes, I'm giving money to Jesus. And then she says right after that, does he live in there? Then she goes, I thought he lived in my heart. And I thought, oh my God, life through the eyes of a child. How amazing. Jesus wants to become like little children, not sophisticated businessmen. We can do that when we're out there in the world doing our stuff, and we need to do all that stuff and grow up and be all of that. But in our time with Jesus, he says, just come like a little child. And there's more to that story. Let me ask you a question. Do you like candy?
Kind of.
You kind of?
I love you more.
Oh! They're smart little critters too, aren't they? Smart little critters. I love candy, but I love you more. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. You're so funny. Did you know you're a little bit funny? Okay. Now, why do you like candy so much? Why do you like candy? Is it bad or good?
Good.
Does it taste good?
Yeah.
Is it yummy? Should you eat lots and lots of candy? Why?
Because it will make you sick and die.
But is a little candy good? Mm-hmm. Is it yummy?
Mm-hmm.
Do you come up to Grandpa's office and try to get candy all the time?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Would you like some candy right now? Would you like some candy? Would you like some candy?
Yeah.
Okay, here, I have something over here. I have some candy. Nice big bucket of candy. I want you to pick out three pieces of candy. Hurry, really fast, real fast. Pick out three. One, you got three, 5 seconds. Five, four, three, two, one. Okay, go over there and sit down. Give them a little hand there, those little girls there. Now I have some candy here. If there are any other little boys and girls under the age of 20, you're also welcome to come up here. Here's all this candy. Come on up here and get it. Run up here. If you want candy, come on up. If you want candy, come on up. Any age works. Any age works. If you're older and you want candy and you have no shame, come. Come. If you're a college, if you're an old person, come and you want candy. There is no shame. There is no shame. Take about three or four. Leave some for someone else. Come on. All right, you kids over here. You kids, come on this way. You see that? You see that? I have some more over here for those that can't carry it out. If you need some, if you didn't get any, come on over here. You got plenty. All right, if you didn't get any, come on over here and grab some. You can grab some more out of here. Grab some more out of here. Grab some out of there. 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 All right, grab a few out of here. Everybody grab some. Grab some. Grab some. Grab some. All right, can you grab this one? Hold it for me for a second. Get them all. You're welcome, buddy. You're welcome. Here, this one's going, thank you. Thank you. Awesome. All right. I just want to bring this to a close. Go ahead, get some more candy. Get some more. Get some more. There's a get as much as you want. All right. Something I want you to notice in this last part. When I threw that candy out, it was made available to every kid here. But what did they have to do? They have to come and get it. Can you eat that candy if you don't come and get it? Does that candy do any good if you don't go out and accept it? Receive it? Take the wrapper off and eat it? It doesn't do you any good, does it? Jesus said that he wanted us to have the hearts of little children. And when it was little children's time to come and get it, you know what? They came running, didn't they? They came running. The older we get, the more we feel sophisticated, and I'm not running. I don't even want the candy. I do want the candy, but I'm not going to go. There's something about a little child that Jesus said, if you want to inherit the kingdom, you got to be like a little child. A little child, you see, a little child will come and get it. Come and get it. We're going to fix you a beautiful a brunch right after this. In about 10 minutes, we're going to fix you. It's going to be a great brunch out here. We're all going to receive. But you know what? If you don't go through the line and take your plate through there and put food on there, you'll get nothing. It's absolutely free. It doesn't cost you a dime. It costs you nothing. But if you don't go through the line, if you don't come and get it, it doesn't become yours. And it's no good to you. Jesus Christ paid your penalty on the cross. He opened up heaven's door for you. He provided everything for you, but he says there's one thing that you must do. You must come and get it. You must be willing to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, to be your Lord and Savior. I have to accept it. I have to come and get it. I have to come up here and grab like the candy, and I've got to take it and put it into my life. You see, it's all provided for you, but it does no good for you. It won't get you to heaven to have Jesus Christ die. He died for the whole world. It only works for you. It only works for you if you're a little child that comes to Jesus and says, I need you. I need you. I need you, Jesus. I need you in my life. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Change me. It's only then does the power of the cross and all of its provision mean anything to you. Because he indeed died for the whole world. But until you personally accept him, it does nothing for you. Like a little child. May I be so bold as to pray here at the end and ask you to pray. I'm sure there are some out there who have never prayed and asked the Lord to come into their life. But today, Jesus wants you to be a little child, to humble yourself, and to say, Daddy, I need you. I've done some wrongs that I need to pay for. You did no wrong, and you already paid for them ahead of time. And today, he'll transform your life. He'll change it in a powerful way. If you wouldn't mind praying with me, and I would love everyone to pray, if you wouldn't mind. I know some of you have already accepted Christ, but some maybe haven't. I don't want them to feel embarrassed at all. I just want them to be like a little child, to come right now. Let Jesus touch them. Pray with me together. Jesus, I love you. I realize I've done wrong, and I ask you to forgive me. Now I ask you to come into my life. I receive what you did on the cross for me. And I give my life to you. And I ask you now, Lord, to be truly my Lord and Savior. I will live now for you. And I look forward to heaven forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. If you prayed that, when I get done here, I'm going to be wandering around here. Just come and see me. I got a Bible for you. I got a bunch of stuff for you. I'd love to take you out to lunch. I'd love to be able to talk with you about this great walk that Jesus Christ is going to take you on. It's awesome.